Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars.
Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, the weekly podcast of the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. I am Brian Freeman, Associate Athletic Director for Strategic Communications, and we are visiting this week with head women's golf coach Matt Luther. Coach Luther is entering his third season, and the Jaguars will open play this weekend at the USA Intercollegiate out at Magnolia Grove Saturday through Monday. So that leads me into my first easy, obvious question for you to get the ball rolling, Coach. But, you know, how ready are you? How excited are you to start this 2017-18 season?
Pretty ready, pretty excited. We've got three freshmen that are going to be in the lineup. So, you know, I don't know what to expect.
You know, starting the tournament with a tournament at home, which is something that you did last year too, is, you know, what are the advantages, what are the reasons you put behind building your schedule that way?
You know, it's obviously we get to start at a course we're familiar with. We're at Magnolia Grove every day. So, you know, especially with some inexperienced players, they're going to get to go around five, six, seven times around the golf course before the tournament starts rather than one practice round on the road.
Well, you know, you just said you know, half your roster is freshmen. They're going to be in the lineup, so you're not quite sure what to expect. But, like, how does that affect what, in your mind, are your goals for the year? And coaches usually don't like the unfamiliar. So how do you mentally prepare for this weekend and this fall as you see how everyone performs, you know, under the spotlight when the gun goes off?
I live in the unfamiliar. I love the unfamiliar. That's, you know, I want to make players better. You know, the players I've had for 2, 3, 4 years, it becomes a lot easier what we're doing. Which can get a little boring for me. You know, with new players, I'm looking at new golf swings. I'm looking at things I've never seen. I'm piecing the puzzle of a new player together. So that's where I live. That's what I want to do. That's why I coach golf.
Well, based on what you've seen and practice rounds, qualifying, and that, kind of what are your expectations for this group? And maybe a better question is, okay, not necessarily for this tournament, because you never know what kind of jitters may or may not be there when you're getting a new year going, but kind of how good do you think the group could be later in the semester and then in the spring as you get towards Sun Belt Conference Championship?
The sky's the limit for this group, you know, but we don't talk about expectations of we want to win the Sun Belt, we want to win all these tournaments, we want to shoot these scores. We talk about, you know, mindset, growth. We want to be better than we were last week, last month, last year. I expect players to come in here and get better. If they can get a shot better every year, then we're going to – the winning's going to take care of itself.
You know, as we've said, you've only got a roster of six. Off the top of my head, I think it is the smallest roster of a program within the department. Is that by design? Is that something you're still working on? Do you like a smaller group because you maybe can work more with the individuals? Or kind of what's your philosophy on where you want to get that roster in the next few years?
No, six is a fantastic number. You know, we play five. We don't have substitutes. We only count four scores, so, you know, six is a great number to manage in practice qualifying. You know, when you're adding players, we're not necessarily in a position to be able to add depth. So, you know, seven, eight, nine, ten players doesn't become advantageous to us.
So for those of us who haven't been able to be out there, you know, how would you describe the competition and qualifying as you look to set your lineup for the season opener this weekend at Magnolia Grove?
Well, right now we've got five healthy players and one injured, so there is no qualifying. We got five and we're going.
You know, when you look at this group, and I know it's early, you know, we've been in school for closing in on a month now, but, you know, kind of your gut feeling, instinct, what do you think you like most about this group as you get the season underway?
They're very tenacious. They're very competitive. Our practice, since we've got here this year, looks 180 degrees different than the first day I set foot on campus. They just show up and they work, and I don't have to. I can just sit and watch practice if I want to, and they're getting work done. I can get in there and coach them if I want to. You know, they're coachable and they're working, and you know, we've got a culture of kids that want to compete and win, and it's fun to be a part of. It's fun to watch.
Visiting this week on Inside Jag Nation with head women's golf coach Matt Luther, the Jaguars open the season Saturday morning with the first of three rounds at the USA Intercollegiate out at Magnolia Grove. Tournament runs Saturday, Sunday, Monday. For any potential recruits who are listening, how would you describe kind of what your program philosophy is and kind of, you know, what your, how you handle everything day to day here in the offices and at practice? And
I tell every player that I visit with as a recruit, I'm going to ask you to do things that are going to make you uncomfortable in the interest of growth. I'm never going to make you do anything. I'm going to present you information. I'm going to present you concepts, and I'm going to get out of your way and let you run with them. And a player that's going to be successful here is going to listen. They're not going to do everything I tell them to do. They're going to do it their way a little bit. You know, we don't pass the ball to each other. We're not running an offense. So players can be a little individualistic. They can kind of do it their way, and the players that I've coached that have been the most successful have been a little stubborn, but also willing to listen. So, you know, I try to be as knowledgeable as I can be. I'm always looking for information. I'm always trying to solve problems. I'm always trying to become better as a coach, to be able to present you as a player with better information. And I want the same thing out of you. I don't want you to do everything exactly how I tell you to do it, and I don't want you to never listen to me ever. If you're one of either of those two, you're going to struggle. If you're very stubborn, you're going to struggle. If you're willing to change and listen and learn and grow, the sky's the limit for you, because I'm never going to stop learning how to make you a better player also.
So other than really low golf scores, what is it that you're looking for in a recruit when you meet them and their family that you think makes a good fit here at South Alabama?
Technically, I look at a golf swing shoulders in, or shoulders down, rather. You know, I want to see what your torso, your pelvis, your legs are doing. Can you generate power? Can you do it with posture and balance? I can fix shoulders out. I can fix arms and golf clubs. So I want to see a good foundation to a golf swing. I want to see a player that's going to fit what I was just talking about. This is someone that has shown coachability, you know, a history of, you know, if I see him a year after I saw him the first time, have things gotten better? Are they doing the same things? And then a kid that I like being around. Like, you know, we're the smallest group on campus. If we've got a kid that's a pain in the butt to be around, there's nowhere to hide them. You know, we're in the van with them and they're making our life miserable. So, you know, I've got a good group. You know, we've got six good kids that I like being around, and that matters a lot for such a small group.
You know, for you, how do you go about initiating the contact? Is it about looking at junior tournaments and results? Is it, do you pick tournaments where you expect good players and go to the range? You know, how do you initially get involved with someone?
Everything from, you know, going to handpicking a handful of domestic tournaments to be at. I try to make it to the British Girls Championship, where essentially the 200 best European players are. You know, we kind of start, you know, we're starting right now 2019 with a list, 50, 60, 75 players who we like as golfers. And then, you know, getting in touch with them is, in 2017, is all over the map. Sometimes it's Facebook, Instagram, email, you know, a recruiting service, you know, a network of coaches. It just, it all depends on where the kid is. If the kid's European, we're probably calling a national coach, or on Facebook. If the kid's from Florida, we're probably driving down to knock on their door. It just depends.
I know you said in terms of this season, you know, you don't necessarily put numbers out there or expectations on a tournament by tournament basis, but if you would, you know, what in the back of your mind you have as potential long-term goals for the Jaguar women's golf program?
You know, I think this is a team that can, this is a program that can get into the national championship and compete. No question. We've got facilities, resources, you know, equal to anything anybody in the SEC or the Big 12 has. So, you know, the sky's the limit for us. For this group, it remains to be seen. They got all the talent in the world. I'm excited about what they're going to do. I have no idea what's going to happen when the gun goes off. That's the fun part. We could win the Sun Belt going away, and we could finish sixth in the Sun Belt. So I'm leaning towards the former. I think this group's, you know, got a lot of ability and, you know, is going about it the right way so far. But, you know, we've had this team together for almost 3 weeks, so we're still figuring it out. You know, I expect us to have a really good year. What we're going to define as a really good year is remains to be seen.
You know, one of those things really is a good segue for me here as we visit this week on Inside Jag Nation with South Alabama head women's golf coach Matt Luther. Before being hired here, and you're starting your third season this weekend, you were on an assistant on the staff at Oklahoma for 2 years, where you went to regionals, you went to the NCAA championship 1 year, finished fourth. What do you tell the women in your locker room now about those experiences? You know, what do you choose to share from it? What do you think you can take from that to help this program get there that you just talked about as a potential goal?
You know, I got to see how they went about their business. We had a group of four seniors that, you know, led the national championship after 36 holes. And watching how they worked and what they did and what they were like and how they approached things was a fantastic learning experience for me. Three of the four of those seniors have some kind of professional status now, LPGA, Symmetry, European Tour. And seeing who became successful out of that group and who kind of didn't was also very interesting. But also, it's just a cool experience, man. Being in the last group of the national championship, it's just where you want to be. So, you know, it's fun to get to tell them stories about, guys, you know, we can get there, and that's what this is about. You know, we want to play in the last group on TV on the Golf Channel with the cameras around. It's fun, you know.
So, You know, before you got to Oklahoma, you were the head coach at St. Thomas in Texas for 2 years. You also were a volunteer assistant at Houston Baptist for a year. And those are programs that you helped win a conference championship. St. Thomas, you helped take to an NAIA championship. You know, in your mind, what is it that you did at those places, or you and your staff, when you're assistant and you have a head coach, that you think would translate to help you achieve that goal here?
Well, you know, St. Thomas, I started a golf program from scratch. I didn't know what I was doing. I knew how to coach golf. I had no idea how to run a college golf program. So I had to learn that on the fly, the hard way, you know. Nobody to teach me. You know, our athletic director was a basketball coach. He was a great resource, but couldn't help me with the golf stuff. I didn't know how to get into a tournament. I didn't know how to schedule practice, you know. So kind of organizationally putting together a year of college golf became easier, just sort of learning on the fly. And then I made a lot of mistakes as a college coach, trying to be a swing coach. And you know, a hard lesson I learned was, you know, when you're coaching privately, someone's paying you money for your opinion on their golf swing, they're going to listen to your opinion on their golf swing. And if they don't like it, they're going to leave and they're never going to come back, and that's fine. And if they do like it, they're going to come back. So, you know, I would get in there with players and try and force change on them, and they didn't like it. If they didn't like it, now I've got a problem because they can't leave, you know? You know, I kind of learned the hard way that golfers are very independent, and as a college coach, I've got to kind of massage how I'm gonna affect growth, rather than, you know, here's my opinion about your swing, take it or leave it, you know. So definitely that was a hard lesson learned, as was, man, I got to organize a schedule. And at the time, I had a men's and a women's team. So, it, you know, it was a balancing act and a learning experience for sure.
Well, the swing coach thing probably came naturally to you, because before you went to Houston Baptist, you were an assistant pro at two clubs for 6 years. So as you were going through those jobs, what flipped the switch for you? What made you decide, I want to get involved in college coaching?
You know, after I finished playing collegiately, you know, I couldn't imagine not going to a golf course every day, so I started doing that, and they paid me for it. And, you know, I picked the driving range and washed carts, and, you know, the business of golf track, you end up sitting in an office, not on a golf course, you know, managing an operation, which made me miserable. I liked the teaching part, and I kind of evolved into more of a teacher, and teaching good players is a whole lot more fun than teaching bad players. So I kind of developed a junior program, you know, taught a lot of high school players and players that wanted to work at it. And I said, boy, this is way more fun than anything I've ever done. And just started volunteering at Houston Baptist. It just kind of evolved that way.
So when did you start playing golf, and why?
You know, my dad was every Saturday morning, first guy to the tee, Saturday and Sunday, you know, sneaking away from work on Wednesday to play. Just loved watching it on TV. Just was a golf nut. You know, I had golf clubs in my hands when I was 2 years old. And I'd go, Dad would drag me around the golf course. You know, at 7, 8, 9 years old, I'd play three holes and rapidly lose interest. It was about when I was probably 15, 16, 17, I realized I wasn't as good at basketball as I thought I was, that I kind of started playing golf, you know, and hadn't stopped since.
Well, so you mentioned basketball. You know, what other sports were you playing? Because obviously golf was a diversion, but nothing you were really focusing on, apparently, with lessons and all that time spent on the course. What other sports were you playing? What interested you when you were a kid?
You name it, I played it. Basketball, baseball, football. I ran cross country one year, you know. I just wanted to compete. We were playing hockey in the street when I was a kid, pick up basketball, baseball, football. If the sun was out, the neighborhood kids were, we had a stick and a ball and we were keeping score, you know?
So knowing that you waited till your mid-teens to turn your attention to golf, you know, what point did you think that I might be able to play this in college and maybe there might be a scholarship involved too?
Honestly, when I was 18 years old, you know, I was going to a junior college, and I was just playing for the fun of it every day. You know, I was practicing and playing, and man, you know, there's college teams that do this. That'd be pretty cool. So I spent a couple of years at a junior college playing on my own, and I waited tables almost full time to save up some money so I could go, you know, so I could go to college and walked on a golf team and played for 2 years, and we were, you know, pretty good.
Well, that team ended up being at St. Edward's in Texas. You know, what led to the decision that's where you wanted to go to finish up and get your degree?
They were one of two schools that was willing to take me, and the other one was in Seguin, Texas. And I picked Austin, which, you know, was a fantastic – it was a fantastic place to go to college and live for – you know, I stayed – a couple of years after I finished, it was a fantastic place to be a college golfer.
Now, in 2004, you earned your degree in business administration, and afterward, for a while there, you spent time, and one of the things you did was you played in some professional events down in the area. And what is that experience like? I mean, just, you know, especially people can turn on CBS or NBC or the Golf Channel on the weekend and they see big names and plush courses. But when you're playing a smaller tour, how do you describe what the competition was like, what you were going through on a day-to-day basis?
Minor league professional golf is ragtag. You know, it's essentially organized gambling. You know, you pay an entry fee, and if you play well enough, you might get your money back and maybe a little more. And the courses aren't great. And the competition is good. There are a lot of guys that can play that you never see on TV. And I learned quickly that I wasn't one of them. I distinctly remember going to the first tee with Jonathan Vegas, who is now a multiple PGA Tour winner, and he hit a first tee shot, and I said, holy smokes, I need to find something else to do with my life because I'm never going to be able to do that. You know, and watched him play nine holes in four under, and, you know, every shot he hit, I wasn't capable of hitting. He just hit it farther than me, higher than me, with more spin than me, putted it better, chipped it better. It was just, oh. And that guy's got nowhere to play, you know. He doesn't have tour status. He's out here. Let's go find something else to do.
Well, you've been involved in the sport for so long that now as you look at it moving forward, I mean, what kind of long-term goals do you have in the sport?
Just to be around it, you know. I love to play. I've got a graduate assistant that, you know, wants to play every day. I've got players that want, you know, we spent all summer on the back range at Magnolia Grove. I want to be able to play. I want to get better. I went and got some new coaching this summer for myself because I still want to get better. It's fun. You know, I still compete a little bit. That's in the back of my mind. That's on my radar. I still want to be able to play at the, you know, local professional level. And I want to be a better coach, and I want to make players better. And it's just, it's a fantastic game to be a part of that we can play forever. My dad's 75 years old. He's still out trying to shoot in the 70s.
Visiting this week on Inside Jag Nation with Jaguar head women's golf coach Matt Luther. We appreciate the time. We know you got tournament hosting duties coming up with the USA Intercollegiate Saturday through Monday at Magnolia Grove. Before we let you go, I'm going to ask a few questions more about off the course so our listeners can get to know you a little better. And really just first thing that pops into your mind, and we'll start with when you have a little bit of free time away from the course, the range, the office, what's your favorite thing to do?
It's going to sound loaded, but I like to play golf. You know, I'm a football fan. I'm just a guy, you know. I dabble in music a little bit. I like to play the guitar badly. That's probably my one distraction from my day-to-day.
What's the best athletic event you've ever attended as a fan?
Oh, the Masters, no question. Actually got to go this year for the first time, and they never live up to the hype, but the Masters exceeds it.
You there all weekend, or which round did you go to?
I got to be there for about 2 hours on Monday when lightning started and you had to leave, but it's a special place, man.
What is at the top of your bucket list for the athletic event you've never been to, but you need to be there?
That's a good question. It was the Masters until April. I'd say the NCAA championship, but I've been there. Maybe it's with Jaguar red and blue on.
Where's the best place you've gone on vacation?
San Diego.
And the first place you've never been to that you would go on your next vacation to would be?
Man, I don't know. Australia? No good reason.
You don't need one. You just got to get on a plane and go. What's your favorite movie?
Whew. All time? Can I say The Karate Kid?
You can say whatever you want.
I was The Karate Kid 3 times for Halloween when I was little. That was probably my favorite.
Favorite book?
Currently, a book called Mindset by Carol Dweck. We're reading it as a team. I'm making my players read it. Sort of about a mindset of growth and learning, which, you know, we all need, don't we?
And for the amateur guitarist, your favorite musical artist?
I like the Texas guys, Reckless Kelly, Cross Canadian Ragweed, big AC/DC fan.
And down the line, a few years out, when someone in Hollywood finds your career path and story compelling and decides they want to make a movie, what actor is going to be hired to play the lead role of Matt Luther?
Oh, Ryan Reynolds, isn't he?
You tell me. I'm not in that business, but I'll recommend it if anyone asks.
He's a dead ringer for me, don't you think?
I'll go with yes.
Absolutely.
We've been visiting this week on Inside Jag Nation with Matt Luther, head women's golf coach. We appreciate the time. Thanks so much. Good luck this weekend and the entire season.
Thank you, Brian.
Inside Jag Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside Jag Nation every week on USAJaguars.com or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags!